your culture is the worst behavior that you tolerate. I encourage all of you to think about that and say, okay, what are you tolerating? Who's that person on your team who's maybe a high performer, but is just kind of a jerk? That's a common situation, but you got to live the values. You can't just say, oh, we want all these things, right? You've actually got to live them every day, or else you're better off just kind of putting things that are really what you're all about, right? You're all about money, put something about that. Don't try to act like it's something different.
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design. Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hamner, your host. On today's episode, we have Clint Smith. He is the CEO and founder of CareerPlug. Many of you that listen to this, I know, use CareerPlug. So we've been wanting to get Clint on. He just released his newest book, How to Hire. We dive into all things about that and also just some best practices around team recruitment. I know many of you are either adding team members, have had some turnover potentially, or just wanting to scale your organization. And we talk about team quite a bit. And I just don't think that there's too many times that we can discuss it because it is a complex subject and an important one if you're wanting to grow your business. I think you're going to get a ton out of this episode with Clint. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Clint Smith. Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one and done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they are taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club, and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at coachpconsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast. Clint Smith, welcome to the Above the Business Podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Great to have you. Been a long time. I've been looking forward to this conversation for a while. So from those that maybe don't know you and know your journey, we always start with background and origin story. So why don't you just take us back and then bring us kind of to present day as to kind of your journey in business and where you are.
Yeah, sure. I got bit by the entrepreneur's bug when I was in college, and I started a tutoring business. It was kind of a larger scale tutoring business to help kids get ready for intro to accounting class. And there was something about it. It wasn't even, the money was great, but it was also just the fact that I was helping a lot of people and I created something from nothing. And I knew from that point that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. After college, I worked in kind of the investment banking world for a little while, mainly because I wanted to save some money and get some real world experience. And I feel like I packed about 6 or 7 years into 3 with all the hours I worked. But after that, instead of going back to business school, I went off and I was working on starting my business, and it's kind of like grinding, trying to get something going, and it didn't feel quite right. So I got a job as a teacher and I taught 5th grade for a year. And I think it allowed me to settle in a little bit and not put so much pressure on myself. And then while I was doing that, I met my wife to be, and then my business ideas started naturally coming together. And fast forward a year or two, and I started CareerPlug in 2007. One of my first clients was actually State Farm Insurance. The original business I had was a recruitment marketing type business. So instead of having jobs posted and you're waiting for applicants to come to you, we flipped the process upside down and we found candidates that we knew that State Farm wanted to talk to. And we created a personalized microsite for each one and invited them to learn more and apply. And this was like right, the timing was perfect. It was right around 2008, the Great Recession. And there were a lot of people who I think were like, oh, you know, I never saw myself being an insurance agent, but they had gotten laid off by corporate America or wherever else. And they said, yeah, you know, I'm going to give that a shot. So had a lot of success with that. But then I really had a yearning of helping smaller business owners with their hiring. I had gone through some hiring challenges myself during that process, trying to scale up. I hired some of the wrong people. And I forced myself to work on my process and get better at it. And I did. And I was like, you know, I want to have software that small businesses can use. I wanted to switch from a service to software. And the opportunity came up actually with State Farm again. I spoke with some people. I think it was one of the recruiting leaders within one of the zones. It was back when you guys had zones. And he said that State Farm was going through a transformation and they were trying to get the agents from being like the rainmaker, main salesperson, to becoming more of a sales leader and hiring staff underneath them. But they didn't really know how to help them with that. So I came to them with a solution and they supported it. It took about a year to get it through all the approvals, but we launched that in 2012 and had a ton of success with State Farm and still do. And then since then, I've expanded out into other organizations. We do a lot in franchising and other association type groups, but really our focus is helping small businesses with hiring. And over the course of that, you know, we've grown and I went from me being the main employee to me being the only salesperson to now me trying to basically get out of everyone's way, cast the vision and have people that are better than me at all these things go out there and execute.
Man, that's crazy. I didn't know actually some of those details around your story. So I do have to nibble around on some of the things going back.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever you said you had a lot of entrepreneurial ideas, but when did you decide to go? What was that moment like when you said, I'm going all in and you left the teaching job and you said, okay, you know what? I actually think that this can be a full-time gig.
I had been stewing. I had three ideas and they were all around the kind of career space. I was one of those guys that people came to ask for help with a resume or get some advice. And I had a couple of bad ideas before I got to a good one. My first one was a resume writing service. And later on, I came up with this philosophy that said, I want to be in a business that has recurring revenue and with people that have money.
Yeah.
Resume writing service violated both of those requirements. So that didn't go anywhere. These were mostly just ideas in my head. The second one was an idea to show people what it was like to work at an office, a bigger company. This was before YouTube was even around or LinkedIn. And that one got a little further along, but I spoke with some people, some HR leaders, and they're like, look, we really need help attracting applicants. What you've got is cool, being able to show them what it's like, but we don't know what the return on investment like that's going to be. So that's when I came up with CareerPlug. And I left the teaching job and I got a job in Austin. I moved to Austin because that's where my wife-to-be was from and she wanted to move back there. And I actually got pushed in the pool I was working at a small graphic design advertising agency, and I wanted to get my feet wet in the small business world and see what that was like. And I helped her grow quite a bit, but she decided she wanted to shrink her business back down a little bit and get back into the business a little more than she was. And frankly, she was a little too far out of the business. And she's like, look, I know you have this business idea. I'm going to let you go. You need to go start it. And I was like really mad at her at first, but then I'm grateful. She pushed me in and it's amazing when you do that. It's like sink or swim. It's like, all right, get up. What are you going to do today? How are we going to make this happen? And it was like a chance encounter. I went to some networking event and I met someone who knew the local agency recruiter in Austin, whose name's Ginger. And then she introduced me to her bosses, Brad and Trent, who were up in the Dallas area. And that's how things got going, really.
No, that's great. There was that moment, obviously, that you burned the boats, right? You said, okay,
yeah.
Well, I think that's awesome.
That was it. And when I had moments of despair, I would go online. And this was back when it was mostly like Monster and Career Builder. And I would sort of like look around and say, are there any jobs out here? But every time I kept doing that, I kept seeing how bad the job postings were and how poorly people were advertising and representing themselves. And it almost like steeled my conviction to say, hey, no, this is something that people really need. I can get out there and help people with that. So luckily, I didn't go out and apply for any of those jobs that I was kind of poking around looking at.
You know, there's this concept by Dan Sullivan, the gap and the gain, in that as entrepreneurs, as the business is growing, we're constantly, our goals, so to speak, move with a horizon. Like they're always constantly moving out. And he talks about like, you got to stop and turn around and kind of see how far that you've come. Do you ever try to do that? Because I mean, you built a really substantial organization at this point and have had a lot of success. I'm sure even just in this week, we're recording this on a Friday, there are probably things in the business that you were frustrated with and like, oh, that's irritating, et cetera. But to look back on that, I mean, 2007, 2008, that's 16 years, which is a long period of time, but it's also not very short either that, man, you've come a long way. There's probably no way you could have foresaw at that moment in 2007, 2008, how far things would have gone.
No, it's funny. I remember when we hit $1 million in revenue and I thought that was the end of the earth. Like I was like looking over the edge. I was like, all right, we made, can't go any more than that, right? And I had a mentor at the time, a guy named Mark Willis, who's actually the CEO of Keller Williams, great guy. And he told me that if you want to attract great talent, you have to make your circle around you bigger to fit their circles inside of it. So I had to think about that for a second. I was like, all right, because like this circle with $1 million in revenue was everything really that I had ever dreamed of and that I wanted. And it wasn't necessarily out of my like greed or ambition personally to try to like make so much more, do whatever else. But I was like, all right, I need to keep growing. And now I've hired some talented people and they want to grow. So my motivation actually changed a little bit. And I was like, I need to grow for them and grow for the organization and grow for our clients to be able to continue to innovate and do things. So it was definitely a mindset shift kind of to go to that next level. But I do look back sometimes and it's crazy what we've been able to do. It's really not me. I got some things going, but from there, I really just got the right people in the right seats and we've run with it.
Well, that last comment right there, I just want to share. I read something recently that said that the business can actually grow beyond you. It can actually grow beyond your own individual skill set if you get the right people in, you set up the right systems, et cetera. Last question on that, because I think this is of interest to me, but hopefully it will be for our audience too. And then we'll kind of dive into some other topics. But how do you hold both of those thoughts at the same time, which is this gratitude for where you are personally and where the business is? And at the same time, putting yourself where you're not the smartest person in the room. So for instance, let's just use that example you just gave. We had $1 million in revenue, $84,000 a month run rate. That was at the moment. Then you put yourself in an environment where people are making $1 million a month, probably, right? Yeah. Or whatever that is. And you've probably continued to do that. So how have you been able to balance both of those to, I'm going to continue to strive, we're going to continue to grow, and yet at the same time, be grateful for where you are and where the business is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I need to make an effort sometimes to really give gratitude to people because I don't always need it a ton of it myself. And you have to give people what they need. That's one thing there. But like for me, I've always been someone that looks forward and looks about growing hung up in the money part. Like, hey, it's easy to get caught up in that game. But if you think about growth in a healthy way, and your approach to growth isn't just about the next dollar or whatever else, but it's about reaching your potential. That's how I've been able to balance it. And really, our mission within our company to empower people to reach their potential. And we talk about that internally and for our clients and their team members as well. So that's really what drives us. I think if you have something that's about more than just the revenue, that's the best way, I think, to strike a balance between the two.
That makes sense. Well, this is actually a really good segue because you were talking about people and just how important people are. And we'll get into your book in just a little bit, but I'm actually kind of curious around, because you've been in the space of attracting and finding talent, helping small business owners to find great talent, keep the employees that they have, putting employees first, culture, all of those things. Here's my first question.
Okay.
What has been the same that you've seen since 2007, 2008? And if you want to go back even prior to that, what's been the same then as it is today? So I'm looking for kind of principles first. And then secondly, what has really fundamentally changed since then to 2024?
Okay. The thing that stayed the same is that there's been ups and downs in the employment market, right? And there's times where there's tons of applicants coming in, and then there's times where it seems like you can't find anyone. But the thing that's always been the same is that the best people, the best talent that's out there, they've always got choices. And you've got to be able to convince them on why they should join you. There are going to be times where it's going to be easier to get more people in the door. But if you really want the best people, you've got to be able to tell a story. You've got to be able to have a culture and something that really attracts them. That, I'd say, we can get into the how and some of the aspects of that. But on the other side of it, what's changed a lot, the speed at which things operate is what I would say. Back then, 2011, 2012, it might have been okay to wait a few days before you got back to someone, right? And then take them and then have a process that could take a week or two to run through. Things operate so much more quickly now to where if you don't get back to someone within a day, within that day or two, you might as well like tear up the resume, delete it. Chances are they're already going to be off doing something else. It's just the game operates a lot faster now. So you need to be on top of it more, and you need tools that give you an advantage.
Do you also think, before we hit recording, you're in Costa Rica, I'm in Alabama, Lauren was in Austin, I believe. And so remote has obviously changed a lot too.
For sure.
How have you seen that both be a great thing and a competitive advantage, but also at the same time, some challenges possibly, both for, and maybe let's just actually speak about it from the challenges and the opportunities from the employer side.
Yeah. A little bit about us there and kind of where we're at. You know, when COVID happened, we went remote just like everyone else did, right? But we were already flirting around with hiring people from outside of, so we were based in Austin, and Austin has become the new second tech hub after Silicon Valley. So all these places were opening up shop in Austin and hiring basically every engineer or product type person around. So we were having a really hard time attracting people to our business. So we started hiring engineers from other places, you know, a guy from Louisiana or someone from Hawaii. And that was our first taste of it. But then when we went remote, I don't know, we adapted a philosophy. We were already allowing people to work from home a little bit, like one day a week. And that really gave us some of the muscle that we needed to be able to transition into that COVID period pretty smoothly. And my team just loved it. And we started hiring people from all over the country. And we chose to fish from the bigger talent pond across the country. I hired a product leader from Indianapolis. There's no way this guy would have worked for us if he lived in Austin. No way. And we decided that that was worth the trade-offs that come with having a decentralized workforce, which there certainly are some. I'll say this, if you're one of those people that has a hard time trusting others, and if you're always wondering like, hey, what are these people doing? Are they working hard enough? Things like that. The remote setup is not going to be the best for you. And you know, like that's an also a big part of like getting bigger. Like we have about 100 employees now. I can't keep track of what everyone's doing all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to like let go of some of that. But luckily we put some systems in place that do help monitor that and give you a little bit of comfort. But the collaboration piece is something that you have to work on, right? I do think that it is harder to do that when you're not together in one room. We make it a point, like our leadership team, to get together in person once a quarter. And then we bring everyone at the company together for a big summit in the summer. I used to think we were going to save some money on rent, but we might save a little bit. But all in all, we do spend a lot on those types of things to kind of get people together. Overall, it's been great for us. And with me, we decided to go permanently remote. I always had a dream with my wife of living somewhere different and raising our kids in a smaller community outside of Austin. It wasn't necessarily Costa Rica. We looked around at a bunch of places, but Costa Rica just happened to be the one that we chose to be part of a community here. We never really lived in a small town. And the remote first, remote setup that we have allowed us to do that a lot earlier in life than we probably would have otherwise.
As a business owner, you know the importance of being able to set goals, track your progress, and see the results. Well, that's exactly what our partners at Today App Pro have been able to build just for you. Today App is corporate approved. It allows you to track activities, build custom word tracks. It allows you to calculate all your commissions and your bonus structures in a seamless fashion, and it integrates perfectly with your company CRM. Today App is truly the best office software to manage all of the day-to-day in one place. It can even manage your employees' time, track production, have a leaderboard with metrics, and has custom reporting. Visit todayapppro.com, todayapppro.com, and schedule a demo and let them know you heard about them on the Club Capital Leadership Podcast.
Are you an agency owner looking to grow your revenue, increase your bottom line, and better manage your taxes? Club Capital is here to help. Club Capital is the largest accounting and advisory firm for insurance agents in the country, providing monthly accounting, tax strategy, and CFO services. Way more than bookkeeping and your everyday run-of-the-mill tax prep, Club Capital is focused on providing financial and tax advisory services that help you plan and forecast your agency's performance. Their financial dashboards and agency forecasting tools help you better understand your agency's historical performance, create and measure future targets, and see how your agency compares to your peers around the country. Imagine what it would be like to understand the impact to your bottom line when deciding to hire a new employee, or forecast the impact rate changes or commission rates will have on your business. With over $200 million in tracked annual revenue and $140 million in tracked annual expenses, Club Capital has the data and the team to help you make better informed decisions for your agency. They will help you turn that back office stress into the backbone of your agency's success by giving you the tools to take your agency and your leadership to the next level. Visit club.capital today to book a solution overview with one of our business consultants. Club Capital, way more than a CPA firm.
This actually is, again, happens to be a good segue. I didn't know how we would get here, but I want to transition to culture. But before we do that, I'd love to draw a thread. Years ago, I hate to kind of admit this now, but it is true, is that when someone, either I was listening to a podcast or whatever, reading a book, and somebody talked about culture, I'd kind of semi roll my eyes and go, oh, here we go again, culture thing. Yeah. But the reality is, it's kind of a real deal, right? It is a real deal. And I've seen that kind of play out in business and in life and in sports and so, and other things. How have you been able, what are some things, and you just mentioned a couple of them. All right, we're going to get the leadership team together quarterly. We put some systems in place to be able to kind of, as an organization, to scale to 100 people. And then we get everybody together once a year. But what are some other things that you all do, maybe weekly, that help with culture? And I'm kind of looking for like a almost a tactic, so to speak, of something that you've integrated.
Okay. First of all, and this is a daily thing, we're really big on core values, right? Mm-hmm. We've defined our values and we live them. And we talk about them all the time. We begin every meeting reciting them. One thing that we do on a weekly basis, we hire for them, we fire for them, we promote for them, we recognize people for them. I'll talk about the one thing we do weekly for recognition is we have a Friday afternoon meeting company-wide. And there's a couple of announcements where we celebrate work anniversaries and things like that. But it's really the meeting is set up for shout outs. So someone will raise their hand and say, hey, I've got a shout out for this person. I really want to recognize them for our speak up, step up core value. Here's something that they did. Something wasn't working as well, and they said something about it. And now we've been able to improve that. And here's, you know, how things are so much better there. That is a real culture builder for us. And there have been some people who have been like, oh, we need to get rid of that meeting. We're too big now. It doesn't work. And you know what? No, we've stuck with it. If you calculate the number of people in the meeting and the time, yeah, it's an expensive meeting, but what's the price of your culture? That's one of the things that we do that's really important. And then another thing with recognition, when we get together for the summit, I started this a long time ago. Did you ever see that Office episode where they had the Dundies, where he gave out the awards and they were at like a Chili's? It was kind of like a comical thing. You know, he was giving out these awards. Michael Scott was giving out awards to everyone. And we're all kind of like tongue in cheek types of things. And we created something like that. And we called it the Pluggies and Career Plug. And I took these, the plates that you put on a wall socket, you know, to go to kind of go around it. I bought a bunch of those plates at Home Depot and would just write awards out for people. And I'd give them to everyone every year. And it was, you know, comical stuff. And we still do that to this day. I no longer write all the jokes or give out all the awards, but we have like each manager will do that. And that's just something that we've been able to carry on a lot longer than I originally thought. All of that stuff ties back to recognition, but then also just having fun together.
That is awesome. That is a great answer. I love when we take a big concept like a culture and then say like, okay, well, I get that. Give us some examples specifically. That was such a fantastic thing because people can do that. You can do that and you can begin to architect, it's kind of language I'd use, architect that into your culture and say, no, it's worth doing this 15 to 30 minute meeting and then really embedding the core values. Because, you know, the first thing that I did the first time I ever tried to create core values, number one, I think I created like 15 of them. I couldn't remember them all. So that was a big mistake. And the other thing is I had this one big meeting thinking it was going to do, that was going to be it. And we're going to plaster it on the wall. And the reality is it takes, as you said, daily and weekly talking about them before it really gets embedded over a long period
of time. You've got to live them. I talk about this in the book. We started out with like 7 and it was too many. And we narrowed it down to 4 because my requirement was, in order to hire someone, in order, like the way we measure culture fit is that they check the box on all the core values. And what we found was when we had 6 or 7, it was too many. What usually happens, oh, they've got 5 of them, right? No, they've got to have all of them. And for us, the sweet spot was having 4. So we'd be kind, speak up, step up, keep growing, and work together, win together. Those are our 4. They're memorable. And we talk about them all the time. It's one of those things you hear about. It's like when they're sick of hearing it is when it's finally starting to sink in. Like you've got to find a way to do it that's not just saying them all the time. You've got to incorporate it into everything. Like we've got hiring scorecards. So it's like, hey, do they check the box on these things? When we do our quarterly reviews, those are on there. Hey, are you living these values? We talk about the recognition that we do each week. That's in there. We talk about it at the beginning of every meeting. You've got to just put some mechanisms in place to where it naturally happens, not just when you're around, when the boss is around. Everyone is, it's just part of the culture that you're talking about that. And I'll talk about one other aspect of culture, a definition I heard recently that kind of made me say, This guy said, your culture is the worst behavior that you tolerate.
Wow. That's great.
Right? If that's not a look in the mirror type of moment, then I don't know what is. And I encourage all of you to think about that and say, okay, what are you tolerating? Who's that person on your team who's maybe a high performer, but is just kind of a jerk? That's a common situation, but you got to live the values. You can't just say, oh, we want all these things, right? Like I think Enron had like trust and integrity as some of their core values, but then it turned out the whole thing was a big lie, right? You've actually got to live them every day. Or else you're better off just kind of putting things that are really what you're all about, right? If you're all about money, put something about that. Don't try to act like it's something different.
So I'm going to take that and I'll kind of flip it the other way because I'm actually curious about this now. So let's say one of the things that you mentioned earlier about what has really changed is the speed in which the best talent that you're going to want to find has options. You said that that is something that hasn't changed, but the speed in which people are looking absolutely has changed. And so if you let that resume sit for 3 or 4 days, you can pretty much chunk it if they're a top quality candidate. Okay. So with that, if we think about, and again, you may have a comment on this, on the number of steps in your entire recruiting system. Okay. So let me just say that from the time that you get a resume until the time you make an offer, all of that is maybe 10 interactions. Again, roughly, I'm just giving an idea. How do you then share with accurately a candidate who is just interacting with you and your organization for the first time in those limited interactions, give them a taste of what your culture is all about? So it's one thing for you to be, obviously, we just talked about it from the perspective of, I need to make sure Clint checks all the boxes of our core values. We are searching to see, do they live these things out? Do they already have these? Okay, that makes sense. How do we do it the other way? So I can show Clint, hey, we have a culture of fun, but a culture of accountability and a culture of success and a culture of all of these type of things that we, whatever that is that you want.
Right.
How do you actually do that in the interview process?
Okay, what we do, it's a great question. First, we try to put some of it on our careers page, right? And so that's kind of the level one, is having some information there. Now, I know some of your listeners are State Farm agents that work with us, and there are some limitations to how much stuff you can put on that page because of what State Farm has. What I would recommend is this step two. Before someone comes in for the interview, send them some information. So what we do is I have a vision that I've written out. There's a book called Vivid Vision by Cameron Harold. And I'm sure you know about it, but that was sort of the model that I used to create my first version of it. Since then, I've tweaked it since then, but I send that to the candidates. I would say, hey, here's what I'm trying to accomplish. Here's where we want to go. And then I include some stuff about our core values and things like that in there too. And then it's a nice test because you give them a taste of that, but then you see how they come in and react to it. Make sure you give them time to ask questions. Don't go all the way up to the last minute and give them a good at least 20% of the interview or more to ask questions. See what they come back with you. See what they talk about. See how they reference some of those things in the answer. If you're looking for a salesperson, right, and you've already given them some information about what your needs are, how do they turn that into something where they sell you on how they're going to help you get where you want to go? Because that's really, you know, a lot of what sales is about. So like you're basically giving them some stuff that will be a test. And it actually should be a weed out for a lot of people too, right? It shouldn't try to attract everyone. If it's attracting everyone, if everyone wants to be part of it, then you're not being specific enough. And you're not being realistic about some of the trade-offs and the things that might be involved.
Oh, that's great. Well, I really like Cameron. I've had him on the podcast. I'm a big fan of his work. Second in Command is a great book, but the one that's had the biggest impact on me is Vivid Vision for sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was a chapter in his first book or in Double Double. And then he took it and wrote a whole book about it. And I was like, that was, you know, I thought it was good.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got good stuff. Okay. That makes sense. All right. So I talked about this, but I'm going to ask it kind of directly. I know for many of my clients and members, they have openly expressed, and I was this person too, My recruiting system was whatever I decided I wanted to be at the time. I was just completely winging everything. Every interaction was different. I was like, oh, this would be a good idea. Let's do a Zoom call. And then let's have them come in for a shadow day. But I was never asking the same questions. It wasn't in the right system. There wasn't a template that I sent to get references. It was all over the place. And so I know many people. Yes. Where do we start in actually creating a good system that we can reliably start to put things through, which again is a really great tee up for your book, How to Hire.
Yeah, I lay a lot of it out in the book, but for me, I just think about if I got a blank piece of paper. I like to do these clarity breaks. It's something they talk about in the EOS Entrepreneur Operating System, kind of yep. like get away from everything. I like to get a legal pad and just go and just jot down my ideas. And I'd say map out what you think the process should be, right? It's got to work for you. And then get some resources, talk to some people. If you want to read my book or talk to some other people who know a lot about hiring, talk to some other people who are in a similar business to you and learn about that. But just lay out the process and stick to it. Because first of all, it's going to keep you honest. Everyone has biases, right? You have someone, hey, yeah, they went to my alma mater. Oh man, they're going to be great. We can talk sports and do this. You may not be seeing a glaring spot on there that you would have caught otherwise if you would have stuck to the program mm-hmm. and asked the right questions and asked consistently across the board. I would say that's the most important thing, is just be consistent. And then also, if you really do want to get above the business, right, and get out of the business, you want this thing to be able to work when you remove yourself from the process. And even if you want to delegate part of it, right? Say, hey, I'll have one of my senior people do the initial phone screen, right? You've got to have the system set up for them to be able to do that. Otherwise, you're never going to get out of the game yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Clint, I think we could end up just the way you talk, the things you hit on are right up my alley. We would end up making this a Joe Rogan 3-hour
podcast. I was thinking, man, I was like, we could go Rogan style with this.
We could totally go Rogan style.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I feel like I've got a whole list of things I want to be able to chat with you about. Okay. Well, we're going to have you back. I'll get in touch with Lauren. We'll get you back on because I got a lot of things I want to be able to touch on.
Oh, I'd love to do a part two sometime. That would be great.
Awesome. I really do highly recommend people to pick up the book. I think you've just got amazing stuff. The company that you all have been able to build has helped so many people. You are a first-class organization. Obviously, it's very evident the culture that you've been able to build. But where would people point them to if they want to connect? Pick up the book, obviously, learn more about CareerPlug, how you guys help small business owners. Where would you point them to?
Yeah, so I think you're going to share a link in the notes here for a place where you can download our book, my new book, How to Hire. You can get a free Kindle version, or it's available on all the sites, Amazon, things like that. If you're not using CareerPlug already, we offer software that helps you with this entire process, right? And you talk about having all the steps and everything built out. It's there. You've got something you can use right out of the box. Or if you want to tweak it and make it your own, you can do that as well. And the big thing, I think, where I've tried to differentiate us from other people out there is we employ and train hiring experts on our team. So like, you'll have a partner you can work with that can consult with you, help you get your process set up, really give you some handholding to make sure and give you the confidence that you're doing it the right way. And you're typically not going to get that if you're just going on and buying some software from some other place. If you want to find me on LinkedIn, I'm also always available to help out and be a resource for you. And I've been there before. I know that the people piece is the toughest piece to get right when it comes to scaling. So if I can help out in any way, either through my company or personally, I'd love to do it.
Awesome. Clint, appreciate you. We're definitely doing a part two.
Yeah. Thanks, Bradley.
Well, I tell you what, I really enjoyed that podcast with Clint. I say that often, but there are just some episodes I enjoy more than others. And I'm excited to be able to have Clint come back for a second episode. I think that we just scratched the surface, not only just on entrepreneurship, but around team and recruiting and hiring. And it's a topic that we discuss often. Obviously, we discuss it a lot with Alex whenever he comes on the podcast. But I think that there's just so many different angles to look at. And then also, he's built a successful business himself, helping other people to be able to recruit, hire, and retain A players in the organization. So I love talking to Clint about what are the things that not only do they share with other people to do, but also what are the things specifically that they do in their organization. So check them out. Go to howtohire.com, pick up his new book, and then go to, of course, Career Plug. I know many of you already use that software and that service, but if you're not, go and check that out. As always, shout out to our podcast sponsors, Autopilot Recruiting, Coach PE Consulting, Club Capital, and Today App. I mean, it's a perfect segue from the conversation from Clint over into Autopilot Recruiting. Autopilot, I know, works with and is very familiar with all the things at Career Plug. And so if you want someone to be able to kind of help you even set some of those things up and then to be able to work through some of those processes, go to Autopilot. Go to autopilotrecruiting.com and let them know that you heard about them on the Above the Business podcast. And of course, once it's time to bring those people on board and you want to train and develop them, you want to have a system and a process for doing that. By the way, systems and processes are very different things. Processes sit inside of systems, and our world systems sit inside of playbooks. But if you want help in knowing what are the processes, what are the scripts, what is the even some of the mindset behind how to actually do things in your insurance agency, there's none better than David at Coach P. Go to CoachPConsulting.com. Let him know that you've been listening, hearing him and myself talk about him on the Above the Business podcast. As I record this, one of the tools that we just started implementing is kind of a project management and workflow tool specifically for Blueprint. And the reason I share that is because one of the things I really love about this tool is its interface. It's UI. It's beautiful to use. It's intuitive. It's easy. And I think you understand that yourself in the tools and the apps that you've used in your organization and even personally. Well, that's exactly the experience you'll get whenever you work with Today App. Go to todayapppro.com. todayapppro.com. If you want a place where your bonus, your compensation plans, and even the word tracks that you use on a daily basis with customers to be able to close them, to work your pipeline, and be able to integrate that with seamlessly with your CRM, well, see, the perfect place to go is Today App. Go to todayapppro.com, todayapppro.com. We're getting around time of this recording, but also the time of the drop is tax time. And for some of you, tax time is something that you know what's going to happen. You know where your taxes are going to be. But for some of you, it's an unknown. Maybe you look at it once a year, but you know that you should. It's one of those to-dos maybe that you have to be on top of your financials, but you just don't know where to start. Well, let me give you a suggestion. First place to start, go to club.capital. Book a demo, talk to someone on the team if you haven't already, and begin to create a cadence and a routine for looking at your financials on a monthly basis so you can get clean numbers and you can make better decisions throughout the year, but also understand what your tax liability or possible refund is going to be for that year. So it's not a guess. It's not a pie in the sky number. Go to club.capital. Hard one. Until next episode, lead well.